Det är onsdagen den 1 december och du lyssnar på Ledarredaktionen, en podd från Svenska Dagbladet. Välkomna, jag heter Andreas Eriksson. I Belarus fortsätter protesttesterna mot Lukashenkos regim. De öppna protesterna slogs ner hårdhänt efter en tid efter det så kallade valet förra året. Men kampen mot diktatorn Lukashenko fortsätter både inom och utom landet. Idag har jag med mig oppositionsledaren Svetlana Tichanovskaya som just nu besöker Sverige. Hon var ju Lukashenkos huvudmotståndare som ni kanske minns i valet förra året efter att hennes man Sergej Tichanovskaya, som också var regimkritiker, hade fängslats. Welcome to Svenska Dagbladets podcast, Svetlana Tichanovskaya.
Hello everyone.
You are in Stockholm right now. What is the purpose of your visit to us?
You know that at the moment in Stockholm there is an OSCE session where parliamentary assembly came, and tomorrow will be ministry meeting in OSCE. So I came here to update, to meet with the people, with politicians, to update information about Belarus, what's going on, and how OSCE and the European countries can be helpful to bring Belarus to democratic changes. And I have met in meeting with the parliamentarian assembly of OSCE. I met with Swedish parliament, with speaker of Swedish parliament. So we have full program here.
I see. Just for take us back a moment, more than a year has passed since the large protest in Belarus began in August of 2020. What has happened in the country since then?
Oh, a lot has happened. You know, for more than 1 year, our resistance is continuing, though the world can't see, you know, visible demonstrations in Belarus anymore because of huge repressions. You know, every day new and new people are being detained in Belarus. For example, today 11 human rights defenders have been detained for their position. A lot of people have been detained just for comments in Instagram or YouTube channels. So the people are detained for no reasons, for showing their political view. And at the moment, 888 political prisoners in our country. Thousands more are detained also. Not everyone wants to be recognized as political prisoners because their attitude to political prisoners is worse than to, you know, ordinary criminals in Belarusian prisons. People are tortured, people are humiliated physically and morally there. And but despite of this terror, despite of all this, you know, people are not giving up. People know that now this is our chance, wheel for changes in Belarus. But on the other hand, regime is also feels rather fragile because there is uprising inside the country, underground mostly at the moment. But still, regime knows that we are continuing, that we are not giving up, that we are fighting. So there is pressure inside the country. We have absolutely united the European Union that are with us on our path to democratic changes. And there is a huge political and economic pressure from European countries, the USA, UK, and you know, Lukashenko and his cronies feels very, very extremely uncomfortable. And in response to this, they are escalating violence. They are using people in Belarus and the people like migrants, you know, to blackmail Europe for their support. But you know, we assure Belarusians believe, Belarusians know that step by step, you know, we will win, and we will hold new free and fair elections.
Would you say that the opposition is stronger now than it was last year?
You know, I don't know what you mean stronger. We are as united as we were last year during uprising. But moreover, we are using this year to build structures on the ground. Yes, all the media have been destroyed. A lot of NGOs have been closed. just to not let people work on the ground. But people are still there. People continue their work because registration of NGO is not about is not only about registration. It's about people. And people who want to continue, they continue. About 300,000 of people had to flee the country, and they continue to fight from exile. Our diaspora doing great job. In every country, we have Belarusians who are communicating to local media, to governments, and you know, keep Belarus on agenda. Of course, we are stronger. Okay, we are stronger, we are united, and vice versa, we see the splits in the regime. Businesses mm-hmm. that are under sanctions, they don't want to share responsibility with the regime for their crimes, and there is always a threat of betrayal inside of the regime, so they're very cautious about people around. You know, they're always moving all the ministers, like because they're afraid of inloyalty.
What would you say are the most important ways in which other countries, for example Sweden, can aid the opposition and the people of Belarus right now?
So first of all, I would say about support to civil society. Sweden, for example, have been supporting Belarus for 25 years. And they continue to support students, teachers, doctors, neighborhoods. Sweden is very active. You know, when Sweden became chairman in OSCE, and we see OSCE as the main platform for negotiations, so for dialogue with the Belarusian regime, we paid, you know, we had a lot of hopes on Swedish chairmanship. And but the year has passed, and we see that not much was done, you know. And you know, we would like to see more actions, braver actions from OSCE. But Sweden, as the country, is very supportive. So, and Sweden can, of course, can stay united with other countries, about sanctions, about pressure on the regime, about support on civil society, justice, and so on. But, you know, you have never betrayed us.
What would you say about EU response? Has the EU done enough, or can they do more?
Look, these are our friends and beloved people in jails. And time for us flows differently than to you, you know. And we, knowing that our people now being tortured behind the bars, we think that much more could be done during this period of time. Yes, it's already five packages of sanctions have been imposed, but the first powerful sanctions have been imposed only in 10 months after elections, you know. And I understand that bureaucracy, consensus, and so on, but I think that European countries are so powerful, they could be braver in their decisions, in their solutions or resolutions. And but nevertheless, European Union is staying with us for more than 1 year already, and they have clear, consistent strategy about Belarus, no legitimation or no recognition of Lukashenko, that they are with us on our course. And I hope that seeing like weak position of regime now, actions will be braver.
Okay. I was wondering, there is a situation with migrants on the Polish-Belarus border right now. It has attracted a lot of international attention. What is actually going on there at the border? Can you explain for us the situation?
So first of all, I wouldn't call the crisis as migration crisis, because it can may confuse people. It's not the situation when people themselves came to the border trying to come to Germany. It is hybrid attack on European Union for the sense of revenge, for the support of Belarusian democracy movement. So people from Iraq, Iran, and other countries were like invited quoted, invited to Belarus. They paid money to travel agencies who promised them to give them like corridor to Germany. But those people were fooled. They have been brought to the border. They were made to throw stones and bricks to Polish and Lithuanian police. They cut this wall, you know, broke the wall to get access to Polish territory. But we see, we understand that this was made to blackmail Europe. Because Europe is very cautious about human rights, about migration, and Lukashenko's regime thought that Europe will give up and will start, will start communicate to Lukashenko because he created this problem, so he could he can solve this. But European Union's countries started to communicate with the countries of origin of those people, communicating with airlines just to forbid flights to Belarus. So they found ways how to decrease the quantity of migrants in Belarus without communication. Yes, we heard about call of Chancellor Merkel to Lukashenko, and it was accepted very strangely, like among Belarusians, because we always urge no dialogue with Lukashenko without Belarusians. But we understand that this call was made only for humanitarian aid, to give opportunity for humanitarian mission to come to Belarus, to see the situation with the poor people, with hostages, and it helped. Now people have been relocated to, migrants have been relocated to, you know, to special building where at least they are saved from frost. They get food there. And but nevertheless, about 100 attacks on border happens every night. So this is still continuing, but still it's not thousands of people on the border. So this problem should be solved, of course, but we can't look at this problem separately from the situation in Belarus. Because even coping with this hybrid attack, nobody can guarantee that Lukashenko's regime invents something else. He's always threatening with like nuclear power station or drug trafficking or whatever else. Only dismantling regime itself will be guarantor that nothing else will threat European Union border.
The ties between Moscow and Minsk, between Russia and Belarus, seem to be growing in strength right now. What role would you say Putin and the Russian regime play for Belarus and Lukashenko's regime?
Look, it's evidently that these two people, president of Russia and ex-president of Belarus, have been working for many years together. They got used to it, to each other. But during all these years, like Lukashenko played like geopolitical seesaw, like coming to Russia in winter, then coming to West in summer, just playing with the two sides. But now it's over because he's toxic to European countries. And of course, on the one hand, he's more dependent on Russian support, political support and economic support. And of course, Kremlin can misuse this this situation. I think that in Kremlin they also understand that Lukashenko is not acceptable anymore by people in Belarus. He is like political bankrupt in European countries, and if they want to play a constructive role, they just have to stop supporting him. And always, like now, we see the situation when Lukashenko is hiding behind like broad shoulders of Russia. He wants to broaden crisis, you know, just involving Ukrainian side, like military attack or nuclear weapon, you know, he wants to be lost among bigger problems. You know, he wants the world start talking about something else, but not about the situation in Belarus. That's why we have always remember who is responsible, what is the core of all the problem arising after fraudulent election in Belarus.
A somewhat personal question. You're the leader of the opposition against the dictator and the regime who has never showed any kind of mercy to his opponents. Are you ever afraid?
I'm afraid every day since the first step I made in May last year. I understand that I'm the target of this regime. Of course, my husband is also a hostage of this regime. And you are scared. You are scared for your family, for your children, for your husband. But I'm scared for all the political prisoners, for all the Belarusians. But you can't just say, look, I am so scared and I give up. I don't have right to do this because I feel the support from inside the country, from outside the country. And I have to move forward despite of this fear.
In your views and in your hopes, what will the near future look like in Belarus? What comes next?
So I'm really optimistic about future of Belarus. I believe that with the help of pressure, we will make regime to start a dialogue and negotiation with the civil society of our country. Before this negotiation, all the political prisoners have to be released, and we will start real dialogue about transition period of our country, about new free and fair election, and after free election, we will start to build a new Belarus. And in 1 year, I see my free country where a lot of investments are coming, where we changing, we have economical reforms, constitutional reforms, where everything is done for people, not for one person, not for government, but for people. And people will feel this respect from new government, and they will like to do something for their country. So I see Belarus as prosperous, country that is a good neighbor for everyone.
And just to summarize, what is your main message to the Swedish and European politicians that you have met today and during your trip in Europe? What do you say to them?
So first of all, situation in Belarus, it's not only about Belarus. It's about the whole region. First of all, our fight between democracy and autocracy is responsibility of all the democratic countries that have to show that democracy also has teeth and can defend itself. So helping us, you are helping yourself. So to reach this, we have to keep consistency in policy towards regime, like putting economical, political pressure on the regime, supporting civil society in our fight, being vocal about the situation, not being lost among other problems in the world, because we are nearby. We are just closer. Minsk is closer than Brussels, for example. And just stay united. Because don't allow a regime to split you, because unity is our strength.
And one last question. What's next on your schedule? Where are you heading now?
I'm going to Vilnius in a couple of days. So I'm staying here for 2 days more. And then we have Eastern Partnership Summit, where we are trying to be at side event about Belarus. And, I have many official visits to other countries. We have to update the information all the time, not to lose focus on the Belarus question. So I can't tell you all my schedule, but believe me, it's rather tough.
Thank you very much, Svetlana Tichanovskaya, for joining us today.
Thank you, Andreas. Thank you, Sweden.
Och detta säger alltså Svetlana Tisanoskaja. Vi kommer säkert återkomma till både henne och situationen i Belarus i framtida poddar. Varmt tack för att ni lyssnade idag på Ledarredaktionen, en podd ifrån Svenska Dagbladet. Om det är så att ni har tips och eller förslag på ämnen som vi ska ta upp i framtida poddar, så är ni varmt välkomna att höra av er till redaktionen. Då är det bara att mejla till ledarsidan@svd.se. Och det gäller förstås också om ni har tankar och synpunkter på det vi har precis pratat om idag. Dagens producent, han heter Jesper Sandström. Själv heter jag Andreas Eriksson och jag hoppas att vi hörs igen snart.